for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, August the 31st, 2014. Luke and Nikki Pinson are the speakers of this service, teaching on Snares of the Devil and Power from On High.
The Lord bless this afternoon.
Yes.
Oh God, hallelujah.
Yes.
Send your Holy Ghost down from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Before I begin, Luke preaches at our church, and so he's going to come. He has a sermon he's going to share with us before I do. Okay? Come on, Luke.
Mighty man of God. Mighty man of God. Well, the word that I felt like the Lord wanted to show me is titled Snares of the Devil. Now, the Bible states that we are to not be ignorant of the devil's devices.
Amen.
And that the devil goes by the wrong line, seeking whom he may devour. And while God has a plan for our life, so does the devil. You know, God wants us to share the word and the gospel with people, to bring them to him. And the devil is trying always to destroy us. You can see that all through the Bible, he has been doing this. And he comes through a number of things. He comes through your weaknesses, like, say someone has a weakness to smoking, and he knows he can have it, then he'll try to pull it in. And while some people are stronger in one thing, others may not be as strong as in that. It's why that faith needs to be strengthened by God. Now, a really big scare nowadays is money, power, and people will go almost anything to. And in Matthew 2, King Herod, whenever Jesus was being born, the king of the Jews, he felt that he was being threatened. And almost, he doesn't say it, but you can see that jealousy for power was coming in and was holding him, and he went to extreme lengths to try to get rid of Jesus. And you can tell that the devil was behind that. Because, you know, as soon as he heard that, the devil was already on him and telling him, oh, he's going to take away your power, he's going to get rid of you, he's going to make you look like a fool. And he goes, but the devil hates us.
That's right.
And he is not your friend. And he is not going to come up to you with little horn, red, and a pitchfork, and a little pointed tail. He's not going to.
That's right.
He's smarter than that.
Amen.
And the devil will not hesitate.
Amen.
If he went to those extreme lengths to get rid of all those innocent people, what do you think he's going to say to you? He isn't going to hesitate. Need to defend yourself with God's word.
Amen.
And your flesh is a big obstacle as well. Whenever you see something like, maybe your favorite television show coming on, but God's pointing into His Word and saying, read my Word. Your flesh don't want to do that. It's like, I can wait later, I'll be there. You gotta tell it no, and it will try everything to get its way. It will not stop kicking and screaming. Maybe rolling on the ground screaming, you don't love me. The devil comes to heal, steal, and destroy. And if you let him, he will control your life and take your life. You know, you can see what all this is doing, drugs, alcohol. You can see where it's taking them. And the devil lays traps for us. He uses different tactics and different outcomes. Like, oh, if you don't stop this, your family's going to do this and that. And so that might be true. But you can give protection by praying to God to protect them. And then, you know, there's always a way to escape. God gives you a way to escape.
Amen.
And it's not just in one or two spots, here and there, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you can come out of here, we go down the road and there are people sitting over there, walking out of a bar drunk, smoking. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's going to be traps laid for you by the devil. And he knows that if he can slowly be pulling you in, that's when this person, well, man or woman of God, he has to worry about. And, you know, once you let those things in you, you already know what they're going to do, it's going to be harder for you to get out of it. You know, it's like digging the hole deeper. God, they're going to draw a line eventually. The devil doesn't care if he destroys your life or your family's life. That is, he has made that clear. With Adam and Eve, he tricked them into doing that, trying to get that, and look at where we are right now. He's made that clear. So you can't say, you don't know, I didn't know that. You're going to try to kill me. God will allow us, you know, a way to escape. He isn't going to just say, oh, well, you should have seen that. You know, sometimes we'll be everywhere. But he will wait and give you a escape. God will allow us to be tempted, but will attack by the devil. We can see that with Job very prominently. Everything was taken from him. But God said he wouldn't leave us as orphans. And he would not forsake us or abandon us. And the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He will say, oh, God's left you. He doesn't love you anymore. God is lying to you. He isn't going to take you to heaven. You know, that's a lie. Jesus said that was not so, I told you so. And the devil will say that God has left you behind, you're forgotten, there's nowhere. Well, the devil, sometimes, you know, when Peter said, I'll die for you, Christ, I'll do anything. He said, you're not going to go to the cross or anything. The devil was trying to do something there. But, now there are many other saying they believe in Christ, and God, and that they believe in God, but they're being devoured, or they're about to be devoured.
Yes.
Because a lot of churches nowadays, the big old fancy buildings, the big old $500,000 gym sitting right next to them, all that is a big, big business. I mean, church nowadays becomes, and the devil is being able to take people like that. And there are people who know the truth and are being given space to repent, but they don't want to believe it. They don't want God's mercy. The only plan with God's mercy, he will say once, that's enough, and he will draw a line. So don't be playing with God's mercy. Don't say, oh, I'll do this whole sin here, and then I'll go repent later. You know what you want, you shouldn't be doing it. The devil said things for us to stumble upon. That is not to be mistaken. He will take any opportunity. You know, I'm not sure who said this, but give him an inch, he'll take a mile, and he'll take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll take longer than you expected. It'll cost more. What it'll cost you is your soul. And, you know, how Catholics say, oh, you can pray him in heaven, you can pray him in hell. That's not true. That's nowhere near true. Jesus said, where trees fall, so shall it lie. So, if you've been following God, you know, your time just comes and you die, you're going to go to heaven. But if you've been drinking all your life and don't want God, you've been turning your nose up to him and something happens. Now, some are just plain out stubborn and wanting one and don't want to believe in it. And I have personally met people like that who don't want to believe in God, don't want to believe in that, they don't want anyone to hear it. And they're trying to say that, no, that's not true. God's not real. God doesn't do anything. And then there are other people who are buying themselves stuff and God doesn't heal anymore. There are people who say, all the miracles cease. That's not true either. I've seen some of those miracles in my own eyes. But the majority of Christians, all it is a few people believing they can make money off of it and they'll trick people. But believe in their gods. You know, walk down the aisle, shake preacher's hand, and you're going to heaven, and do what you want. That's not true, and someone's going to answer for that.
Amen.
When it comes down to it, someone's going to answer for that. Many are destroyed by their lack of knowledge because they refuse to accept it. And why would someone want to turn their nose up to the word of God when all you got to do is spend about 60, 70 years, maybe longer, but then have eternity of joy, happiness, forever loving with God? They're turning their nose up. many come and go. They might come into your area and they'll come look around and then just wander off. Some will stay and get right with God, but then quickly burn out. They won't love God. Why? God's love, wherever you're around someone and you just like to be around them, it's probably, you know, you just feel the presence of God around them. That's God's love to you around them. It's a wonderful thing to have. Presence of God around you, it's a good thing to have.
Amen.
But, you know, whenever you can get someone around you, all they talk about is death and all that, and just drinking and drinking, you don't want to be around them. You know, most of them are arrogant and rude. So, now, it's good, it's great to have God's presence around you. And, you know, but if you've been giving someone some false, you know, I believe it's Smith Wigglesworth, that he was fasting and praying for God to give him a vision, but all he had was a man going through hell, pulling up people by their hairs in their heads, trying to find a preacher and put them there. If you're giving people false doctrines, you're giving them the devil's argument. You're not giving them God. Islam, Buddhism, that's what the devil wants, because now he can pull you off this way, and then you have to worry about the big targets, like Miss McGee, he has to worry about her. He knows that she gives other people God. And, you know, he's going to try to do things to get rid of God's people. Don't harden up your heart. That's one good thing. That's snare the devil right there. When God's people were coming out of there, catching it, Egypt, he brought death upon a lot of people there. Firstborn son, the cattle, the blood was turning in the water, all because he hardened his heart and wouldn't listen. And that was a big snare of the devil there, because it wound up costing him and his entire army's life. But God's people came out of there, and that's a great thing. The devil will not ignore a man of God, no matter what you do to hide. If you're following God, he will come and keep you out of there. He's not worried about the people who are just going on their lives living by their instincts. He ain't worried about them. He's worried about the people of God, and he will get some of those people together and try to scare people of God into it. Now, the devil comes and, you know, if you've been down and wealthy and not complaining, you're opening yourself up to the devil. And then, you know, you might come, you might get deliverance, but there's still more in there. When the devil comes, he does, you know, and you have more problems after you've got that one come up, there's something in there opening up doors. Laying traps for you in your own mind. God's not going to abandon you ever. Don't question God. God's not a man, he shall not lie. And God's never wrong. He's all knowing. He's infinite. So, and if you're not believing God, you're still questioning him, you're sitting back there saying, no, God ain't right. And you must be tricking yourself and you're letting those thoughts you're having be shivered. Because God's all knowing. Don't question God. God is not a man who cannot lie. But why are you questioning? Now, if a man says he's without law, without sin, then he's a liar. The only sinless man was Jesus Christ. And the devil can choose his brother. He don't care who he hurts, who he does anything to. And, you know, he's standing at God's court, accusing us day and night. The devil isn't gonna stop. He's not gonna say, oh man, they got into God, I can't worry about them anymore, I gotta go find someone else to us. He's not gonna do that. He wants you to think that, but it's not true. Now, and Jesus said that if heaven was not so, he had told us so. And don't believe the devil if he's telling you lies about God, because he hates God. He knows who he is, the devil isn't going to go to heaven. He believes in God because he knows the devil. The devil hates us. He hated Jesus without a cause, so then he hates us without a cause. The devil hates us all. And he won't stop until your final breath. That's something that's true and has been experienced by many Christians in their biographies.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Lord shows you sometimes you don't understand why you don't have to stand. God's protecting you. He's keeping you away from those wrong things. because he loves you. And Lord, we thank you for Lucas. We ask, Lord, that you pour your spirit into him. We ask you to strengthen him and bold him. We pray he'll be a tree of life that rivers of living water that comes forth from his innermost being. I pray for great encouragement to come over his life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless him to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, we bless him to speak the truth in love. We bless him to have strength to stand in front of anyone for truth and for righteousness. And Lord, we thank you and we pray that never again will he ever be discouraged. Because, Lord, you've got your hand on him. And we thank you for him. Thank you for his heart for you. Lord, pour your word into him. I just loose on him a supernatural ability to comprehend, retain, and understand the word of God. Lord, give him a hunger for the word. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to cause him to always seek first your kingdom and your righteousness so that all these things will be added unto him. Father, we ask you to give him a triple anointing in anything you've ever given his grandfather or us or anyone, Lord, for the days ahead. We bless him. We bless his going in. We bless his coming out. We bless him in the city. We bless him in the country. We bless everything he sets his hand to do. And we declare that never again will he feel like a failure or an outcast, Lord, because you said that we're to rejoice and be glad, exceedingly glad, that we're blessed when men revile us and say all manner of evil against us for your sake, for great is our reward in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you. We just loose on him the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord God. Well, I want to thank you. And Sister McGee, I want to thank you for obeying God. You are an encouragement.
Yes.
And Sister Carter, you're an encouragement. Praise God. You can get encouraged to come here.
Yes.
You can get encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Bless the Lord. I didn't call my grandson in the ministry. I did not. Praise God. God did. I have been asking to preach. And his little brother preaches too. Noah back there. Well, I want to talk to you about power from on high. And Lord, we ask you your blessing. And you have been blessed. Lord, you have blessed this camp. Praise God. Praise God, Lord. And I thank you for it. Because God, you're intended to do great things here. It's not trying to go back and recover something from the past, Lord. It's not what we're looking at, Lord, or thinking or hearing from you. But God, you've got a plan for this place. And we know you do, or the devil wouldn't be attacking so hard, especially the staff here, Father. God, oh God, thank you, Lord. You will keep your promises. And there are many, Lord, that came before us that believed you and prayed and prophesied over this place. And Lord, you're going to fulfill it. In Jesus' name, and we want to be part. Amen. Power from on high. In Luke 24:49, Jesus speaking, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." I send the promise of my Father upon you. Of all the things Jesus could have said in the closing minutes that he was with him, this is what he said. This ought to be what the church is saying. This ought to be what we're hearing instead of a lot of what we're hearing. The promise of my Father upon you. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. John chapter 16. And it's not hard to figure that out. Jesus could only be in one place, so the Spirit could be everywhere. So he said, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with fire from on high. I don't think we should try to minimize or hurry the waiting period, the tarrying period. By teaching people how to speak in tongues, teaching them these things. We should not rush that. Now, instruction's good to give. I know a lot of people could have spoken in tongues a long time before they did. They just didn't know how to release, you know, they didn't know how to accept. The devil's messing with them, telling them that it's just them and all that kind of thing. But to tell, and if you do this, you need to quit. But to tell, I've heard them say this. I've read this in their books. Now, when I count to three, you say something, but you can't say it in English. You just, whatever comes to your mind, and that'll be the Holy Ghost. I don't think so. Not the way I got the Holy Ghost. And now I know Brother Clinton, which if you heard me talk about him a lot, but he has been over the years my, and not maybe personally talk to him personally, but through his tapes and CDs now, a mentor to me. But that man waited on the Holy Spirit for a year, a whole year. He said, I could have got it sooner, but it didn't, you know. And didn't know how, didn't know what to do. The promise of the Father, tarry. Let's don't push that, try to minimize or shortcut the tarrying. There is a purpose in tarrying for the Holy Ghost. I know this, while you're earnestly, excuse me, sincerely waiting and tarrying for the Holy Ghost, He'll be cleaning your life out. He'll be showing you things. If you're sincere, oh God, why? It's like healing. Lord, what's in the way? And so you can repent of things and get things correct in your life. And but let me say, and I've taught this here before, but you don't speak in tongues just one time and that's the end of it. You don't do that just one time. It's, you're given that for the rest of your life on this earth. You're given that. And because we build ourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So there's great value in speaking in tongues. Excuse me. Now, where to put it? Glory to God. At home I have a great big, there's a big pulpit. I hauled it back from Mexico in the back of a minivan. I kept bugging them until they gave it to me. That's what you got to do, you know. And one day they said, you can have it. I said, good. Loaded it up, took it home. Refinished it. It's old. I don't know where they got it, but it's a beautiful thing. Now that. So, until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. What's the whole object? Not just to feel good, but have power from on high. That's what it's about. Power to live for God. Power to minister for God. It's power. Acts 1:6, and Jesus, he said, now you've heard of me. You'll receive the Holy Spirit, but you've heard of me. And then beginning there, verse 6, and when they therefore would come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now notice the same man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this that we just read out of Luke. Luke wrote this too. And will you restore the kingdom to Israel? I've noticed people that are all in the end time things, you know, end time, and they make a big thing out of end time. And they were doing the very same thing here, and the Lord cut that off. He said, no. If you want sometimes to get a crowd, you can preach motivational speeches. The other thing is you can do is talk about end times, because people are interested in that. So here they are, they're talking about end times. You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel. And he said, and it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When? After. Not at that time. Not the time of your conversion. See, there's some that you get all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get when you get saved. I don't know, where's there a scriptural basis for that? They don't even have one. But the Holy Ghost should be ever increasing in our life. Ever increasing. Oh, praise God. Like faith is ever more and more and more. We are to be deeper in the Holy Ghost today than we were last year or last week. There's no end to this Holy Ghost. Praise God. And you might say, well, you put too much emphasis on the Holy Ghost. No, you look what Jesus, he put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Ghost, preached about and talked about the Holy Ghost. John 14, 15, 16, it's mostly about the Holy Ghost. And so, after you receive, he said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. And in both Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I want to say, and I've come down on this pretty hard, but because I heard a preacher one time preach a whole sermon on you'll be a witness for me. He used this scripture and said for me. Well, it doesn't say for me. It says unto me. You'll be a witness unto me. You will be what I am. See, when we're a witness for him, it's totally different from us being a witness of him. We are what He is. And we minister, such as I have I given unto you, we minister out of what we are. So many are preaching out of their education, their training, their own ideas, instead of out of what He is, what He's doing in our life. I know, and you ministers know this, much of what we preach comes out of our own experience. The things that we're going through. The things that God has allowed us and leading us through to teach us so we can. And the scripture bears that out, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 especially. You can comfort others with the same comfort you're comforted with. And so that's how God deals with us. And He deals with not just ministers, but all of us. All of us. I have a daughter-in-law that my son and her went through a difficult time. They divorced. And now they're remarried. It's his parents. And they're remarried. And, I had another daughter-in-law that got angry about it and different things. And I'm getting too personal here. But I had to ask them to leave the church. That's hard. To ask your own son and three grandchildren, and I had to ask her to leave the church twice. And, but I had to. And, there was no other way. And their mother, God's gonna use her mightily. And she's been prophesied that too. But she's gotta get past her guilt feelings and her, about her failures. And she's gotta get past that. I mean, God gives her revelation. It's awesome. I never hear anything from the other one, but this one has revelation. And I'm not picking and choosing. Now, that's hard. I'll tell you, that's hard. It's one thing to run somebody off giving you bits all the time, If you're a pastor, you got to be there a while before you're the pastor. I'll tell you that. And God has to make you the pastor. God made Moses the pastor of those people. He called them, but then He had to make them. He said, and He did these miracles till they feared Him. And then here comes Joshua, and you read the same thing. God made the people fear Joshua. Now, I said, if you're a pastor and they don't fear you, you understand what I'm saying. Respect you. If they don't believe that you're a man of God and God speaks to you, then you're not going anywhere. Well, you can. I can't say that either. It's obvious they go somewhere. They build these big buildings, have these big programs, and lots of money that we can only dream about. But I'm going to say this. I have been there 36 years, over 36 years now, at the same church. I went there. It was an old rundown building built in 1938. Unleveled. We're on kind of ground that it just shifts all the time. When it rains, it swells up. When it gets dry, contracts. And the buildings are just going. We're right now the Shiloh house. We just spent an awful lot of money getting it leveled. And so this building, and it had two different old kinds of pews, and you tear your clothes off them, and some old green carpet down the middle aisle, and no air conditioning, an outhouse out by the back fence. And you gotta have two things, wash spray and lime. Well, and then something to clean yourself up with. But that's what you gotta have. And, I just could go on and on about this place. And I visited there. And I was glad to get out of there. And, I miss God. I miss God a lot. The first church I pastored, the Lord told me to leave, and I wouldn't leave. Things got going good, and I didn't want to leave. Well, then, how God can tear something. It got tore up. I mean, this two of the women got in a fight out in the front yard of the church, and I can just tell you a lot about that. And, mostly over rabbits. See, I didn't know any better. And I have to be, patient with pastors that don't know any better. But, when Easter came, we were going to, and the one that brought the most was going to get a free rabbit, free bunny, And it worked, except they got an argument over who really brought the most. And, so I had to go find another rabbit. It's hard to find another rabbit after Easter's over with, But I had to. I did a lot of that stuff. Okay, now.
And so then it was doing so bad, I didn't want to leave then, but by then I left. And oh, I could write a book on that one. I missed God, I disobeyed God, and God is patient with us. Please be patient with yourself. God is patient with us. Thank God. But we can do a lot of damage with our disobedience because we're not hearing, we don't know how to hear. You gotta learn how to hear. My sheep know my voice, the stranger will not follow. And so then on Wednesday night, the first week, we went to a church up in Greenville, Texas. And it's a pretty good sized city on Interstate 30 there. And we went there and he said, well, what are you doing here? And I said, I resigned my church. And his eyes lit up, you know. I should have took the clue. But he whined and dined us. Oh my. We got to sleep in his mansion. He really owned a mansion. The man was rich. And, But that didn't impress me, and the people in the church and putting pressure on us, but God spoke to me three times, all different ways, don't go there. But under pressure from my wife, the people, the pastor, and I went. And he talked us into buying a house. He said, he's an older man, he said, 6 weeks I'm going to turn this over to you. Well, then it was 6 months. And then it was someday. And I was warned that he'd do that. Well, one morning we bought this house, and one morning I was sitting on the platform. He let me preach every Sunday night after he got through preaching. I mean, he wasn't preaching, but he preached. And then I get up and do my little thing. And, I was sitting, I got physically sick. You know, you get physically sick disobeying God?
Amen.
Physically sick. And I went out and I sat on the front porch of that church on the main road to Greenville, Wesley Street. And I sat out there and I repented. And I said, God, you help me, I'll get out of here. So I did. He got very angry at me. Very, very angry at me. I ended up having to rent. I didn't walk through that house. Here we are. We're stuck. I had a job with Safeway, but I couldn't go back to Dallas. But that's all God. God's ordering your life.
Amen.
He's ordering your life. Now, King James says the steps of a righteous man are the Lord, but actually righteous, if you look at it, King James is in italics because it's not in the original. So it says the steps of the man are ordered of the Lord. So then we left, I went and tried out at the church, and y'all know what trying out at the church is?
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to try it out, but we didn't get it, thank God. We didn't. And I went to try it at one church down in Hawkins, Texas. And I got there that morning, and I thought God had told me I'd get that church. That's what I thought he said. And so we went, and that morning, it was, whoa, something wrong in this place. And the three songs, and it's mine. And it was rough. And I made it through it, and then some of the family took us to lunch, and they said, now you gotta understand, we're in the church, middle of a church split. So that's what's going on. Well, what I didn't know that night, the crowd was a lot bigger. I didn't know the other group came back that night. And so I felt impressed to have a testimony service. I quit that, mostly. Because it's something else. I quit a lot of that stuff, the special music, the flesh show, the fleshly show thing and all. So anyway, I asked this young lady to come up there and lead the testimonies, and she came up there, and immediately, it didn't take me long to figure out she's from the other group, and she started chastising and rebuking the other group that was there that morning. I said, oh my, it's getting very tense in there, and I was looking for the back door. They didn't have a back door. And it was like, whoa, what is going to happen here? I'm not that experienced. I don't know what to do here. But the Lord gave me a word. Perfect peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so she had demanded everybody come down the altar and repent. Well, her group came down. The other group sat back there. You know, and it's like, oh my. But the Lord gave it, so I got between the group at the altar and the group sat back there, and I started preaching that. And God brought, he helped that night. And the church is doing well today, doing very well. And in fact, Brother Kyle had a a funeral in his church. That's the church. But it was in another building. And it's doing very well. It has for a long time. But God sent me there for that, and I didn't even know what I was doing. But he sent me there, praise God. Well, I came out of assistant pastor at a very large church in Dallas. And I decided that I had served my time. You know, it's my turn to have a bigger church. I mean, I did my thing. Well, it didn't work that way. And I was in a church, I don't know why I'm telling all this. I was in a church up on near the Red River. If anybody knows about Texas and Oklahoma, it divides us up there in the north. And I was up there, a little place called Satch, Texas. And I was up there, and it's a little old building, kind of like the one I ended up in. And they just had a Sunday school in one corner and in the other corner. And I don't even know if they had a bathroom. But during the transition between Sunday school and church, they're going to move the piano. I heard one church where one group wanted over here and one group wanted over there. And after every service, they'd move it over to the other side of the other group, and the next one they'd move it back over there to the other group. I don't know why they moved the piano that morning. But anyway, they moved the piano, and I had termites in it. How many of you know what termites are?
Yeah.
I mean, it had ate that back of that piano up. And they were discouraged. And not only that, half the congregation got up and left half the Sunday school. And they don't even know me. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's the way I look, whatever, they left. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, God, I'll take the church, I'll take one just like this. I mean, I was desperate. I'm calling a pastor, and nothing's opening up. Nothing. Well, then we had moved to Sulphur Springs because the presbyter, they needed a pastor at this church at Peerless. It's odd, when I first went to that section, we were divided into sections. 3 years earlier, I could have gone to Peerless or to Cattle Mills, but the presbyter wanted to go to Cattle Mills. And if I went to Peerless first, I'd probably quit ministry. But anyway, God was good. And so he said, you go there and preach, but don't you take that church. You can do better than that. So I went. Well, after a few weeks going there, God spoke to my heart and said, this is it. You take this church. I knew it. And I think I've had to sit there like that, so see if you can move me. And they didn't have a piano player. I remember there's a pastor in Greenville that had a pretty good-sized church, but they didn't have a piano player. And so he said, well, we'll just close the church. Can't have a church without a piano player. I thought, well, my, you need to tell that to Jesus. You can't have a piano player. But anyway, we did get somebody to come play sometimes. She wasn't safe, but she could play. And so we learned that, you know, I had to grow my daughter up so we could have a piano player. We went there, and this, like I said, there's no air conditioning, there's no running water. In August, you could not stay in that building in the afternoon. In the wintertime, you would, if you, as long as you sat down, you're right, you stood up, your head would burn off, you know, as the heat rises. And so there we were, and been there 36 years, and only tried to leave one time. I got so discouraged. I got discouraged a lot of times. There's a very winding road, FM 71 goes down by there. And I'll never forget, I was going around a curve, and I wanted to leave so bad. And the Lord, you know what he said to me? Well, will you stay? Will you stay? He didn't tell me I had to. He's never made me. He said, will you? And I said, yes, Lord. Twice that happened. And then we couldn't even find a place to live there. And his house came up for sale. And it's an eyesore Peerless. And but it's all there was. And I didn't have the money. I got all the money I could together to buy it. I'm skipping a lot. But when I went to sign the papers, I was afraid I didn't have enough to close the deal, but God made it possible. But he warned me when I moved there. He said, if you move here, you'll be here the rest of your life. That's what he told me. I don't know if God talks to you, but he talks to me. And he said, my sheep know my voice, the strangers that will not fall. So he must talk to us. And does he talk to you?
Amen.
And we're talking about power from on high, but it involves God talking to you, because he'll guide you into all truth. He'll teach you all things. He'll show you things to come. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So there I am. And God has made promises to me about that church, and it still hadn't happened. And the church had grown, I went, this is it. And then it wasn't it. They'd leave, you know. And I've been there long enough, I can drive them down the roads, and these people used to go there, and these people used to go there, and these people used to go there. But I'm there. I see a lot of people have risen up against me, and God in me, and the position God's put me in. And a lot of people have. And but God's dealt with them. You stay there long enough. You stay there long enough, you'll see. I mean, things will happen to people. And not that you're wanting them to, but that's the Word of God. Now, so in that God's blessed us, we have a fairly new building. In fact, we've been in there for a while. All the miracles I could tell you that God has done. The miracles. We had a half an acre, and we were going to buy a 2/3 of an acre on the south side of us. And so I went in, the grandfather offered it to us for $5,000. He died. The father said, well, $5,000. He died. And then we didn't have $5,000. And so then the granddaughter inherited it. And so I went to talk to her, and she said, well, I think my dad wants $5,000, so you have to pay $5,000 for it. 2/3 of an acre then wasn't worth $5,000. We didn't have $5,000, so we just waited. And finally, we decided we'd try to raise the money, and we were having a homecoming, and we took an offering, and we got about $3,000. But the day before, she comes up with her boyfriend that she's living with in a nice car because she's got this inheritance now, and she said, well, I just can't tell you that I'm going to sell you the property. That's what she said. Well, God said different, but I'm not going to sell you the property. What can I say? Then her new car wouldn't crank, but I helped her crank it. And she left. And the next morning I have to tell her, look, we're going to take this offer, but I want you to know what she said. And then the message in tongues came, interpretation. God said, you're going to have that property. You're going to have it.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I found out that she was giving it to her. She was going to let her boyfriend's parents live there. One morning I woke up and I felt like I should go talk to that girl. She was living up in town. As soon as church was on that morning, I was going to go take a nap. I don't know how many of y'all do Sunday afternoon nap, but anyway, that's what I was going to do. But no, you go talk to her. And I went, I knew about where she lived, and I went into her mother's house, and she said she's not here, she's right down the road. So I went down the road, and I'm knocking, she slings the door. She said, what do you want? You know. I said, we want to buy that property. Come to find out, it's a mobile home park, and her boyfriend's parents are going to move the mobile home, but they owed money for rent, and they told them, you move that mobile home, we'll call the cops, and you won't move it. So they couldn't move it. She said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take $3,000 for it. And that's what we had. Well, at the same time, her grandmother died, and that day. And so they asked me to participate, but not to do the obituary part and the Baptist pastor to preach. But that night, I'm going over this, and the Lord gave me the whole sermon. I said, Lord, you give me the whole sermon, but I'm not supposed to preach. I took my clothes to work so I could take off and go to the funeral. They called me at work and said, he's sick, will you preach the sermon? So I was ready. You got to obey God.
Yeah.
And so I preached the sermon afterwards. The person that the girl was underage, she couldn't sign the papers, but her stepmother was there, and I chased her down to that cemetery and I said, we want to buy that property. And so she said, okay, all right, I'll sign too. And I went immediately and we got a notary to sign it, and God gave us, I'm just telling God, he worked miracles. He's a miracle working God. He'll work miracles here. He'll provide what he'll keep. He'll keep you. And I tell you, every one of us ought to be a minister and be serving God. And God's doing things, and he's leading us, and he's showing us what he's going to do with us. Now, it's amazing what God can do. I need to put this in right here. I'm saying we're all ministers, but we have to realize where we're supposed to be and where we're not supposed to be.
Amen.
We have to recognize whether we have a right or a portion to participate in a particular ministry. Nehemiah told Sanballat, Nehemiah 2:20, then answered I them and said to them, Sanballat and his group, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. You know how it fits Sanballat and Tobiah gave and Gershon gave Nehemiah. Laughed, mocked, threatened, accused, all that kind of thing. Thank God for Nehemiah. So are you Nehemiah? And so, and Nehemiah's not even a preacher, you know, but he's a man of God. I'm telling you, we all have a ministry. And so he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us.
Amen.
Don't care what you say.
Amen.
God will prosper us. You have to know that. You have to stand on that. If you can't know it about what you feel like God's called you to, you need to make sure he called you to that. He'll prosper us.
Yeah.
He will prosper us. I told you he's made me promises about that church. I left a long time ago, but I couldn't leave. Even when it, so many people left, there's 11 people left, had this big building, and my job, see, I worked for Safeway, and they had a leveraged buyout, and we lost our job. 8,000 of us lost our job one day. And I was going to have to move. And the Lord told me, if you'll stay here, I'll take better care of you than Safeway. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
I say Safeway.
Lord, yes. Yes,
if you live out west, I mean, it used to be all across, it's the largest grocery chain in the world at that time.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, 27 years ago. And so the Lord told me, if you'll stay there, I'll take better care of you than Safeway did. Well, we were making $12 an hour 27 years ago, and we had eyeglasses. We didn't have hearing aids. We had eyeglasses. We had medical insurance. We had credit union, and we didn't have to pay for a dime of our medical insurance. And God says, I'll take better care of you than they did. $12 an hour. I know what we do, but I obeyed God and I stayed. I'll tell you something else he told me. He said, he gave me the scripture when the children of Israel went out of Egypt. He gave them, you know, he spoiled the Egyptians. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to, Safeway's going to close, but you're going to get something out of it. And so it closed. The day came. We still hadn't been able to get any kind of severance pay or anything. I thought, well, God, you know what you're talking about. He said, no. It was a few months later. It was even on the radio. That's how big Safeway was at that time. It was on the radio that we were getting severance pay. And go to the union hall and get it, and we did. And I got a pretty good amount, but not, you know, I'd made more if I could stay. I stayed there at that church. And I tell you what, I have more today than I had when I worked for them.
Amen.
And I cannot put it on paper. I cannot show you how. I'm not rich or anything like that. In fact, I just let my daughter and my daughter's son-in-law and their little girl have my house, and I'm moving into that Shiloh house, and it's hard. Sometimes what am I doing? You know, but I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm 32 acres, 3,000 square foot house that we built. But I'll tell you, God said he'd take better care of me than Safeway did. And so I'm going to obey God. Where he leads me, I'll follow. One time their dad, he was an asthmatic all his life, and one day he was older, but he never would tell us he was sick. He wouldn't tell us. He got so bad that he couldn't breathe. And the local hospital wasn't a good place to go, a good first aid station maybe. So we were headed to Paris, Texas, where his allergy doctor, asthma doctor was. We got to the intersection, you could go either way.
Is it all right if I go ahead and talk to him?
Don't despair.
You can go ahead, we're recording now. Just
okay.
The internet.
Don't despair. I probably, Brother Kevin, I probably said somebody wasn't supposed to hear. I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Especially my other daughter-in-law. Totally. Hey, that was hard. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful. I knew what I was supposed to do, and it was one of the hardest things I ever did. I love my son. Anyway, so I had no idea where I was at. Oh, he got there and he was screaming. His heart was hurt. I don't know if you've ever, but his heart was, you know, they can't, their hearts having to work so hard. And so we had to turn to go to the first aid station instead. But God was good, and there was a man there who knew exactly what to do for him. Exactly what to do. Because see, he had almost died there before. And so he almost died, and he had this doctor that we started taking him to the specialist in Paris. And but he was from another country. And Our son was so bad. I've been in a meeting, and my wife called me. This is going on all the time. And so I had to leave and go up there, and we left at midnight. I left at midnight. She stayed with him, and he seemed to be all right. Well, then I was going to leave. Excuse me. I did not leave at midnight. I felt impressed to stay. And so I stayed, and he had an asthma attack, and they couldn't get that doctor to come up there. And the room was full of nurses, and they were scared, and they didn't know what to do. He finally showed up, blamed the nurses. And he didn't know their dad was making it from that room to the ICU. They did not know. And they got him down to ICU, and this doctor's giving Valium because he thinks as long as he's sleeping, he's okay, but he's not okay. And we said, will you please call the doctor in Paris? I'll take care of baby. I'll take care of baby. Well, he wasn't taking care of baby. And finally did call him. But anyway, I had to get in under that oxygen tent with him and calm him down. And one of these times when he's asleep, I went out in the parking lot and I walked and said, God, I give him to you. You know, I don't know what else to say, Lord. If you want to take him, he's yours. God wanted me to do that. I gave him. And I never understood how Abraham felt. I never understood. You think that was easy for Abraham? I never understood till that, and I could understand then. But I felt like God heard me, and I walked back in. You know, he was all right, and we took him home. He was all right, and we took him home, praise God. We didn't know how. I said, God, wait a minute. Now, you said take better care. We're going to pay this. Y'all, it costs money to be in the hospital. I see you, and they put him in a room. Kevin, God, how are we going to do this? I mean, we're poor. I'm 34 and a half years, it's been a struggle, except for one little short time. I mean, a tremendous financial struggle. And so the next day, some nice lady that God moved on her heart in the office fixed it. We didn't have to pay anything. God had to show me that he can keep you through it as well as he can keep you from it. See, I thought he'd keep us from going to the hospital, but he showed me he could keep us through it. It's like one time we went to Mexico. I've gone for 25 years and taken lots of people and young people. We would come back on a big old van, C-25, and so we had enough money left. That's the way we always operate. Enough money left to get by gas and get home. And on the other side of San Antonio, the thing quit. I mean, it jumped time and it quit. We're on the side of the highway, Interstate 35. And first the highway patrol would come by and say, I'll call your record and you can get you some rooms. And it was the day before New Year's Eve. And I said, oh, no, thank you. We'll be all right. We didn't have money. Well, we couldn't get a record. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. Then the sheriff's deputy would come by and said, oh, no, thank you. We'll be all right. And then this young man comes by and he said, you know what? I'll get the chain. I'll pull you up there and y'all can work on it. He pulled us up there. And he came back and he said, you know, my grandmother lives right down here, and I'll talk to her. I'm going to pull you over there, and you can put it, the front end of it is too big to get in. Or Roger, you can work on it, and all the kids can come inside. They entertain them all night long. And God showed me that he could take care of us when it broke down. I thought he was supposed to keep it from breaking down. He'd keep you through it.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, he's done that so many times.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I want to say, though, that so many times I thought he was fulfilling his word. He told me to build that building. In fact, a retired presbyter came one Sunday morning, and I was surprised. He showed up. He's a very renowned pastor, minister. And he said, you know why I'm here? I said, no, I don't. He said, well, I had a dream last night, and in the dream, people were coming from everywhere to your church. And I said in the dream, where are all these people coming from? And this is over and over I've heard that. Dreams, visions, prophecies. And it hadn't happened yet. Then I got to see, God dealt with me about Abraham, because Abraham waxed strong in faith. He didn't consider the deadness of his body or Sarah's. And he dealt with me about that. And I got to look now. You know, it was 25 years from the time he called until that boy came. I said, oh, that's it. 25 years. I'll be here 25 years and it's going to happen. Must have been 36. I told the Lord, I'd die believing him.
Amen.
I'll die believing you. If I don't ever see it, I'll die believing you. These died in the faith not having received the promises. How about you? You going to get mad at God and give up and quit? What are you going to do? I made that promise to God. Another promise I made to God is I will never coerce anyone into coming to this church.
Amen. Yes,
never.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And you know what? He gave me that in John chapter 6. He said, all that the Father has given me will come to me. Oh, that sets you free. All that the Father has given to me will come to me. You don't have to worry about anybody passes by your church. If God gives them to you, they'll be there. If they pass by, we've had churches on both sides of us split, you know, and they never come to ours. They always go somewhere else. I said, oh, God, why don't we get any of them? Well, all that the Father has given me will come to me. And that covers everything. That covers people that, and all I need today, He'll give to me. Seek first the kingdom of God's flesh, He'll add all these things to you. And I'll tell you another wonderful thing. Every plant that the Father hasn't planted, He will remove. Now, do you like that part? When He removes some people that I watched one time to leave our church and half our income came from them. Oh, God. Now, what are we going to do now? I mean, I went home and cried all night. We paid every bill. We never missed a thing. I want to tell you something about these people, though. The wife, both of them worked, made good money. And the wife told me one time, said, I'm about to retire. When I do, y'all won't be able to do all the things around here you do because you won't be getting my money. I thought, woman, I wouldn't say that. I would not say that. If you think this is dependent on you, God's our source. Your job's not your source.
Amen.
I hope everybody's listening to me. You think I've gone off on a deep end, and I have kind of got away from this, but I know I feel saying what I'm supposed to say. And, I mean, even deliverance requires faith. If you pray for it, you walk out, you got to believe God that He's done what you asked, and it's praise God. Well, now, people, all the years I've been there, there's always been those that are trying to be in a place in that church they're not supposed to be in. There's one old gentleman. He fought me from the time almost he came. He wanted to be secretary of treasury. I said, I don't think so. He liked being charged and being in control. And there's one thing you've got to learn as a pastor is who not to let be in charge of him, this, that, or anything. There was a lady that's left our church, I know, five times and tried to take a busload every time she left. And you know what? She was assistant pastor, song leader, youth leader and everything when I came there. Women ran the church, and I love women. I'd rather sometimes pray for women because they receive better than men do. But they ran that church. Actually, there was one that ran it, but it took me 2 years to figure out who it was or for me to find out. And finally, I found out because I had a little radio program. I told them I'd pay for it because I was working then. And so this lady comes to me, Secretary Treasurer, the same lady. And she's all nervous, and she said, I don't know what to do. Sister so-and-so told me not to write you a check when you asked for it. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I told you, I told the church, I said, I told you I'd pay for it. I was supposed to get the Sunday morning tithes and offerings in the Sunday school offering went for the church. One Sunday morning, they put all their money in the Sunday school offering. What was that telling you? Well, I told them that night. I said, you told me. And so they got straightened out there. Praise God. God made me the pastor. Now, I'm telling you, God made Moses the pastor. He made Aaron the pastor. He made me the pastor. One of the ways He did is because God used me to prophesy to them, and they, whoa, this is true. It happened. There's one lady, I told her, if you marry that man, you'll come back to Peerless a broken woman. She got mad, angry at me, married the man, came back to Peerless a broken woman. She never would tell me. She'd tell everybody else. Said, Brother Pinson tells you something, you better believe it. And you know what? It's not because, I'll tell you why, because I'm not, God helping me, I'm not going to say anything God didn't tell me. I'm not that stupid, you know. I mean, this is serious business. You're representing God. You better know who you're hearing from and what you're hearing. And if you don't hear from God, don't say anything. They said, bless you. Go on. You don't have to come up with a word for everyone. And some people, God has nothing to say to, just like Saul. He had nothing to say to that man after he kept failing. Well, God's promised me these things. When the church got so low that I didn't know what I'd do, we didn't know how we'd pay the bills, But I couldn't go anywhere else because God didn't tell me anywhere else to go. What are you going to do? You stay. Praise God. There's one time when I told you I was discouraged and I was looking for a church. I went and tried out at a church. In fact, only time in 36 years. And I didn't tell the church at home what I was doing. But anyway, I got a little more sense than that. But anyway, this presbyter I called and said, you got any churches open? You said, he said, you know, I get more phone calls on Monday morning than I do any other time. The attendance was down, the offer was down, they're all calling looking for a place to go. I went to this one church in Pittsburgh, Texas, and it seemed like it fit well, me. And so on the way there, I was praying. I said, God, see, I had a job. I was had some positions in our section, and I had a church. I said, God, I don't want to, don't let, usually they elect you for 2 years, and then you voted on again. That's hard. And but if you're smart, you get indefinite, and they can't do that to you anymore. They don't hold, you know, pull your string all the time. So I'm on my way over there, and I said, God, I don't want to go there if I'm just going to be there 2 years. I've had, at least I have something to burn hands work to in the bush. And so, Lord, don't let that happen. We got over there, and I preached that morning. And when we went out, first I went to talk to the board. You got to talk to the board, you know. They all went to sleep on me except one man. I should have figured out something on that. The next morning, I'm walking across the parking lot after church, and there's a guy out there smoking. I don't know. I just noticed it, you know. I know I'm going to go off with some things, forget where I was at, but I got to tell you this. There's a man that used to be in our community, and we're trying to buy an acre of land. And this acre of land is available because a boy that was working in our store, by the way, probably not somebody got in and stole all our money, but there's a boy working in that store, and he was in there, wasn't paying attention, which he didn't usually do, and somebody called and said, hey, we had a shop next to it with a lot of equipment in it and stuff. Hey, your shop's on fire. It burned to the ground. And everything in it. That's the third fire we've had since I've been there. Third fire. A boy burned our school down, our old church building, because he got mad at me. And in the barn we had lumber to build our new church burnt down. So I'm familiar with fires. Just ask me. I know what it feels like. But anyway, I was in Cooper, Texas, on the other side of the river. We'd gone to the pastor's funeral over there, and my daughter-in-law, the one I asked to leave go over there, said, well, we want to take you to eat at this place. And I felt a check. But I thought, because we could go back to our cafe and our little store and eat for free, and I felt the check. But, oh, she's paying for it. I overrode the check, too, and that's why it burned to the ground. Because if I'd have obeyed and listened, we'd have gone, and it would never burn down. You hearing me?
Yeah.
But so I get a phone call while I'm over there. Brother Pinson, the shop's on fire. And it's this boy, and he's hysterical. And I said, well, I just fixed a cooler, you know, where you put stuff in, milk and stuff. And I said, see if you can get it away from the shop. They were only like 20 foot apart or less between them. And so we're on our way over there. We get behind this truck. It's 23 miles. We get behind the truck. It's going so slow. We can't get around it. And then we get behind a fire truck that's going to the fire. We can't get around him. And so we can't call anybody. We don't know anything. I don't know if that store is burnt to the ground. But when we went around the curve, the store was still standing. I said, well, God, you must still want it. He told me to open that. Yeah, please. I'm not interested in that. He told me coming back from Mexico. I didn't know. I thought that's the dumbest idea I ever had. I didn't go tell anybody, but you know how God won't let up. And so I was, we were having the church exterminated, and I was walking around following the exterminator. He turns around and says, you ought to open a store here. He doesn't know me, never been to Paris before in his life, don't know anything. But see, you got up two or three, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So we got this store. The store actually caught on fire in three places and even burnt through the wall in some of the places. And so I said, okay, God, you must still want it to be here. But just listening to God. Now, I'm going to this church, and I get there, and the guy's smoking. Well, that night, I notice he's leading songs. And I thought, whoa, this is interesting. And please don't think I'm so hard. You're not going to help you smoke, okay? You may have lung cancer, you may have COPD, and you may have emphysema, but I don't know that you're going to hell. I preached two funerals in a row of women that were connected to a long hose to the oxygen machine. This one lady, bless her heart, everywhere she went, she had to pull that thing around, go this way and go that way. You know, God did a work in her life, though. She'd come to church with her oxygen tank. Nobody in that big family would come with her. She could barely make it to the back pew with her oxygen tank. I called for people on prayer, and she was embarrassed to bring it down there, but she would barely make it down there and sit down, and I'd pray for her. You know, she wanted to go to church. There's another lady found out she had cancer. She came to church. She's the mother of the church. Came to church one more time, lived another year. I never understood that one. I believe I'd be in church every time. You know, I believe I would. Well, anyway, so that night I preached, and they sent us over there to the parson. They said, "Well, you go in there and wait." After 2 hours, I told my wife, "Honey, we can pack up." They didn't elect us. And I didn't know why, but they paid me pretty good. Best most ever made for preaching up that point. $200. Can you believe that? I got $200 for preaching on board with kids a long time ago. On the way home, I rejoiced. The guy that did get it lasted 6 months, and the church blew up. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't God good? He's good, folks. The steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. I'm there. I'm where God put me. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I will say this, and I could tell you, oh my, everything we got, God gave it. It's awesome. But the last year and a half, God's begun to bless.
Amen.
I mean, He's begun to bless. I told you, I've got a brand new car out there. Never thought in my life I'd have a new car. Didn't ask for it, but there it is.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Praise God. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, people trying to be where they're not supposed to be. Not supposed to be. This man always wanted to be in charge of the music. He wanted to be the music director. We never had a music director. Don't believe in it. Minister of music. Well, you know, they got minister of the trash, minister of the food, minister of this, minister of that. I'm telling you, they do. That's a trick, you know, involve everybody, give them a ministry, and then they'll come.
Yeah.
If you want more people involved in a service, more people come to service, get more people involved, they'll invite their friends and family, they'll all come, and you'll have a big crowd. There's tricks to this thing, see. If you do it that way. But if you do it by the power of God, it doesn't matter. I tried gracefully to keep him. And he would tell me this. He said, "We need to give God our best. So if you make me music, minister music, we'll meet here on Saturday and practice some music. We're going to do it. We'll do that." I said, "Now, brother," he came out of Baptist background. I said, "Brother," he told me he was an ordained minister. Later on, I found out ordained minister of music, but he never told me that part. But anyway, I said, "Brother, we're a Pentecostal church, and God may change the music at the last minute. We may sing all kinds of different songs. We may not do that. We don't do that. We don't plan it. We don't pass out programs at the door telling them who's going to sneeze when or whatever. We don't do that. We're different." I said, "Besides, it's not your best. God's not looking for your best. God's looking for you to worship Him in spirit and in truth." And that man's always trying to be where he's not supposed to be. Listen to this. "You have no right nor portion of memorial in Jerusalem." Now, Nehemiah prophesied to Sanballat. But who today will prophesy and tell some that they are tempted to be a part and do what they have no right to do? Who will do that? That lady that left our church 5 times, tried to take a busload. One day she got me out and we didn't have a women's group. We don't have any of that. We come to church and go home. We don't have kids. We don't have... we used to do all that thing. Something for the boys, something for the girls, this, that. And we don't get people because their kids want to go because they got this wonderful program up there for their kids. You know, they're so deceived.
Amen.
There's a place I preach sometimes during the service. They had their kids singing, and I would look out the window out there playing football. No, I want them in there, in the house of God, where they can see the Spirit of God move, feel His presence, lay hands on them. We have a children's program. You know what it is? I lay hands on them and pray for them, prophesy over them.
Amen.
One little girl in our church, they left for a while and went to another church, and the little girl And she told the pastor, I'm going to pray for him. Nobody ever done that. Nobody, he said, in his life had ever laid hands on and prayed for him. And she goes up and lays hands on and starts praying. He starts weeping. You know where she learned that? We taught it. We taught her that. Not we didn't teach her to do it. We did it. And prophesy over them. Because you ought to prophesy over your kids. Good things. Quit telling them they're a devil. Quit telling them they're no good. Quit telling them to prophesy over them. So she said, Brother Pinson, I see how hard you're working. We need a youth. We need a ladies group to help you. I felt a check in my heart, but she pressured me, and I could show you where I stand when I said yes, when I messed up. And that lady used that to really cause a lot of damage in our church, something that God didn't want her doing. She left again. This time she come back. She didn't get to do anything in that church. She tried, but now God let them know. They had no right. God let them know just like he let Saul know when he didn't answer him. You know, God didn't answer Saul. Those that identify with Christ but yet are not like Christ have a witness of God's silence when they're not qualified. His silence. A witness of silence. When Elisha inquired about his right to be in the ministry, saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what I'm talking about? He followed him when Elijah's trying to discourage him. From the very get-go, at the beginning, when he threw his cloak on, started walking off, and here comes Elijah running after him and said, turn to him, well, what are you? I'm just going back. What are you following me for? Well, go back. If you think, you know, if we're having to beg somebody, like I told you that lady, oh, please sing, oh, what you sing, and everybody, oh, sing, and when they finally figured out she wasn't going to sing, she figured it out, and said, okay, I'll sing. God's not begging and pleading and it with anybody. He called you, you better answer. And so, you see how God dealt with Elisha through Elijah. And that last, when he's going to be caught up, and every time he goes, the prophets, sons of the prophets is saying, don't you know it's going to be, and Elijah be taken away? And he says, I know that, be quiet. And Elijah's you stay here now, you stay here, you stay here. God ever done that with you? You're going to find out if you mean business or not. He put you somewhere like he's put me, put so many. And put you in the ministry, and people don't like you, and they reject you, and they're jealous, and they're this, and they're that, and he's going to see if you mean business. And they're not going to be hard in two dimes to rub together. He's going to see if you mean business. And so he said, well, all right, what do you want? He said, well, if you see me when I go up, he kept his eyes glued on that man of God. And he got the mail, goes back, he's going to find out, is this real? Am I called? Did God call me? I'm telling you, the power of God. If there's no power of God working through you, either you're not called or you haven't found God. If you go into a church that the power of God never operates, the gifts of the Spirit never there, you better make sure God told you to be there.
Amen.
And because you'll receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, where's the Lord God Elijah? God was not silent with him like he was with Saul, but rather God heard Elijah and opened the Jordan River for him to walk across on dry land. 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he was strong, this Uzziah was strong. He's a godly man up to that point. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Balance. See, balance not all. Mighty man of God's not always what we might think it is, but it's men and women of God that are willing to stand up for the truth. They followed him in, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said to him, it appertains not to you. It appertains not to you. Don't try to be in something that appertains not to you. Don't try to prophesy if it appertains not to you. Don't try to teach a class. Don't try to anything if it appertains not to you. Wait till you know God's spoken to you, not that you want to. I hope I'm not hurting anybody's feelings here. You're going to be tested and tried. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to be in something, do something God didn't call us to do.
Amen.
You'll hurt yourself and you'll hurt everybody around you.
Amen. Preach on, brother.
You don't have to preach to go to heaven. I don't have to, but I want to. Oh, I want to.
I love it with all my heart. I'd rather preach than do anything. And second is write. I like to write things about God and nothing else. I ain't writing about the weather and the football team and anything. It appertains not to you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated or anointed, set apart, called to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord. I believe if it had stopped right there, I know him, if it had stopped right there, things would have been different. But what did he do? It says he was wroth, he was angry. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy came, or even rose up in his forehead before the priest of the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked on him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from there. Yes, he himself hurried also to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, dwelt in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. If it doesn't appertain to you, stay away from it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise God. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for these precious people that are in here today on this Sunday afternoon. People that love you, that want to serve you, that want to please you. Our faith is tried many times. God, we can't seem to get clear direction at times. You've made promises to us, Father, and it seems like it's going the opposite direction. You try our faith. But, oh God, you're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. I feel like I need to say, there's some young ones out here that you feel like perhaps God's called you. You have struggled with that right now, but you feel like he's called you. Hey, that's okay to struggle with it. He'll confirm it. He did for me. Well, I say he did. He'll confirm it. But you're struggling. Hallelujah. I feel you'll learn a lot of things. You'll see a lot of things. You'll pass through a lot of things. In fact, you will to the day you die. You'll never quit learning. If we ever quit learning, we're dead. But, oh, God, thank you. Lord, raise up an army right here for months, season. Those in the path that go on, Father, we don't feel bad for them because they had to leave. That's up to you, Lord. But, God, raise up an army. We're going to leave here. Some stay, Father, and with the stuff. Thank God for them. Some, the rest of us don't go, Lord, and we're going to go wherever you pointed and wherever you placed us. You placed us. And we're going to do your will, and we're going to have faith, and we're going to believe you, Father. And you're going to try our faith, and as a result, our faith is going to increase. It's going to grow.
Amen.
And we're going to do your will, Father. Oh, praise God, till you come. Hallelujah. We're going to be faithful, Lord. You're going to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've made you rule over a few things. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over many things. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. For these sweet people, Father. My God, my God. But Lord, we're just a part of it. We're not all your army. There's much more out there. Some of them don't see everything we see eye to eye, but that's okay. Praise God. That's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his miracles. Oh, I praise you, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for every test, every trial. Hallelujah, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that even in the failures, you taught me and you brought me through. And here I am today. Oh, God, I thank you. It's not easy today, Father. It's not easy now. And Lord, I don't expect it to ever be easy. Praise God. Apostle Paul said there's an effectual door open for me, but there's much adversary, many adversaries. And we learn that. We learn that it's always going to be adversaries and opposition. But we're going to stand. God, you're looking for people who will stand in spite of that. And we'll do what you call them to do. Continue, Lord, to stand, to minister, to preach, to live. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And if you're here this morning, and you want prayer, if you'll come, I want to pray for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.